Leader of the Islamic Revolution underlines the need for the Muslim world to unite against West. Speaker of Iran's Majlis urges Iraqi government to provide more security for the Iranian pilgrims. Iranian Foreign Ministry condemns Canadian Parliament for anti-Iran gesture. Syrian army retakes control of last militant bastion near the strategic town of Al-Qasr. And ties between Pakistan and the U.S. darkens as Washington launches more drone attacks in the country. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has underlined the need for the Muslim world to unite against the West, which has launched an open war on Muslims. Addressing a group of Quran scholars attending the 30th edition of the Tehran International Quran Competitions, the leader said, "Unity and agreement among Muslims is an urgent duty." Ayatollah Khamenei added, "The Holy Quran invites Muslims to remain united and avoid division, and is against the colonialist way which creates discord among Muslims and fuels religious prejudice." The leader said, "Discord among Muslims would result in bloodshed, blind terrorism, and its horrible consequences, and serve the interests of the Zionist regime," urging Muslims and Islamic governments to keep vigilant in facing such threats. Pointing to the Islamophobia wave launched by the West, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Western enemies have waged an open war on Muslims, and therefore the Muslim world needs to strengthen its internal capabilities." The leader emphasized that unity, solidarity, and focusing on commonalities can further empower Muslims. The Speaker of Iran's Majlis of the Parliament has called on the Iraqi government to provide security for the Iranian pilgrims visiting Iraq. Condemning the latest terrorist attack against Iranian pilgrims in Iraq, Ali Larijani urged Baghdad to take necessary measures to counter thugs and terrorist groups in the country. 16 Iranian pilgrims were killed in a terrorist bomb attack in the Iraqi city of Maqdadiyah in Diyala province on Friday morning. Larijani also expressed his sympathy over the death of Iranian pilgrims. The blast, killing nearly 20 people overall, ripped through the bus taking pilgrims to the holy city of Najaf. At least 45 people, many of them thought to be Iranians, were also wounded in the bombing. In another terrorist attack on May 25, 5 Iranian pilgrims were killed and 20 others injured after a booby-trapped car hit their bus near the city of Samarra. The National Security and Foreign Policy Committee of Iran's Majlis also said recent terrorist attacks in Iraq are aimed at sowing discord among Islamic sects. The National Security and Foreign Policy Committee condemned the recent terrorist attack on Iranian pilgrims in Iraq, adding such terrorist attacks are a scheme by the U.S. to create disagreement and skepticism among Islamic religious sects. The committee called on international organizations and bodies to condemn the perpetrators of such chain assassinations and provide security for Iranian pilgrims. Earlier on Saturday, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman also condemned the attack as indiscriminate and unjust and against all human and Islamic principle. Abbas Araghchi described the terrorist attack as a blind and criminal move which stands in contradiction with the Islamic and human codes of conduct. Noting that the terrorist operation against the Iranian pilgrims in Iraq coincided with the day celebrating formal start of the universal mission of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he believed that the culprits behind the move are either direct instruments in the hands of enemies of Islam or are tools manipulated by them to carry out their plots. Araghchi added Iran maintained the right to sue the supporters of terrorists. Elsewhere in his remarks, Araghchi condemned Canadian Parliament for anti-Iran gesture. He said the Canadian government lacks legitimacy due to reported election fraud and that the parliaments are universally recognized for lawmaking on national affairs, not about other countries. He added the ridiculous and politically motivated legislation has been drafted by a government which suffers from political illegitimacy due to vote rigging. He hoped that Canadian Parliament would show immediate reaction to the fate of hundreds of Canadian Aboriginals especially the Canadian girls and ladies that disappeared over recent years. Syrian army has retaken control of the last militant bastion near the strategic town of Al-Qusair and restored security in the village of Eastern Baudia. The army also pushed foreign-backed militants out of the central villages of Salahia and Masudia, just north of Al-Qusair. Scores of militants are reported to have been killed in the clashes. The Syrian army is now in control of most of the towns and villages near the border with Lebanon. There have also been reports of heavy clashes between government forces and militants in Aleppo, Latakia, Idlib, Deir ez-Zor, and several Damascus suburbs. According to officials, Saudi and Yemeni nationals were among those killed in Latakia clashes. Meanwhile, at least 8 people, including 3 women and a teen, lost their lives in a car bomb blast in the Syrian province of Homs. Several people were also injured in the blast. Thousands of people have taken to the streets in the Turkish city of Istanbul, defying Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan's call for an immediate end to protests. Protesters woke up in Gezi Park on Saturday after a week of camping, saying they were determined to stay. Some protesters got organized to remove all the rubbish from the park, while others handed out free food from makeshift stations. Banners and signs all over the park depicted Erdogan as Hitler, calling for his resignation.
We will try to keep it going on, and even unless police attack here again, we will keep going on here, because what's going on here is a perfect thing. You can see everybody is helping each other. We are cleaning the park, and everybody helps here.
As long as they will give up, you know, our president or whatever. But as long as it goes on, we're going to stay here. I don't know how months or years it will take, but we're going to stay here.
At least 4 people have been killed in a car bomb blast in the majority Shiite area of the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. The explosion took place near a clinic in Al-Amin district. At least 20 people, including 4 children, were also injured in the attack. Another car bomb explosion hit a police convoy in the northern city of Mosul, killing 1 policeman and injuring 2 others. There has recently been an upsurge in violence across Iraq, and the authorities say Qatar and Saudi Arabia have had a hand in some of the incidents. Iraqi Prime Minister has said militant groups and the remnants of the former Ba'athist regime are responsible for the latest wave of violence. A man with a semi-automatic rifle killed at least 6 people and wounded several others as he carried out a deadly rampage across several blocks of the Californian city of Santa Monica. Police shot him dead in a college library. The violence began when the gunman, dressed in all black and wearing what appeared to be a ballistic jacket, opened fire on a house where 2 bodies were found. The attacker also killed 2 other people on his way toward the college campus.
I can report that we received 3 patients. 2 of those patients arrived in critical condition. 1 of them has died. The other is still in the operating room, as far as I know. We received a 3rd patient who was in serious condition and now appears to be doing quite well.
It got pretty scary. I mean, you know, as soon as people realized there was gunshots and it was real, there was immediately a lot of panic. One of the doors wouldn't open, so a lot of kids were panicking against a locked door and funneled around to the other side. Just kept saying, everybody stay calm, we're okay, head to the exit. And yeah, it was scary.
The United Nations Refugee Agency says over 140,000 people remain displaced in Myanmar, a year after clashes broke out between Muslims and extremist Buddhists in the country's Rakhine state. According to the UN body, some 75,000 people were displaced by the first wave of riots in northern Rakhine state last June, and another 36,000 were uprooted in the second wave in October. The agency called for measures to stem the flow of people out of Rakhine and to promote the safe and sustainable voluntary return of the displaced. UNHCR also called on the governments in the region to keep their doors open to people in need of international protection. The UN body underlined the necessity to urgently register all internally displaced people in order to improve aid delivery and better respond to the needs of the most vulnerable ones. Now, researchers say the stench of human feet could be a new tool for fighting deadly malaria mosquitoes. London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine researchers found that mosquitoes infected with the tropical diseases like malaria are 3 times more attracted to stinky stockings. They also stressed that the finding might help create traps for targeting malaria mosquitoes. More than 600,000 people, mostly African children, are killed by malaria every year. Zionist forces have clashed with Palestinian demonstrators protesting against the confiscation of Palestinian lands by the Zionist regime in the occupied West Bank. Palestinians took to the streets in the village of Nelin to express their outrage over confiscation of their lands by Tel Aviv regime and the expansion of satellite units. Zionist troops fired tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse the protesters. Dozens of protesters sustained injuries as a result. Tension has been rising in the region lately as Zionist forces have stepped up seizing Palestinian land in order to build more settlements. The presence and continued expansion of Zionist settlements in the occupied Palestine has created a major obstacle for the efforts to establish peace in the Middle East. Pakistan has summoned U.S. envoy to Islamabad to express outrage over a recent assassination drone strike that killed 9 people in the country's northwest tribal region. Pakistani Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the demand for an immediate halt to non-UN sanctioned drone strikes was repeated and relayed to U.S. Charged Affairs. It noted that the importance of bringing an immediate end to drone strikes has been emphasized by the Pakistani side. On Friday night, U.S. drones fired 2 missiles into a compound at a village in the Shawad district of North Waziristan, killing 9 people. It came just 2 days after Nawaz Sharif was sworn in as prime minister. Sharif insists that the U.S. should stop such attacks, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty. An Afghan soldier has killed 3 American soldiers in the southeastern Paktika province. The killings occurred when a man in Afghan army uniform opened fire on U.S. forces. At least 2 other soldiers were injured in the incident, which happened on the same day that an Italian soldier was killed and 3 others wounded. According to official figures, the overall number of the U.S.-led soldiers killed so far this year in Afghanistan stands at 81, out of which 61 are Americans.
Today, 4 ISAF soldiers died during 2 different incidents. 1 Italian soldier died at an attack in Farah province, and 3 U.S. soldiers died at an attack where an individual wearing the uniform of the Afghan National Army was shooting 3 American ISAF soldiers. The guy has been killed. The investigation is going on, and as soon as we have more findings, we inform you about that. Seems to be an insider attack. We still need to wait for the final confirmation, but again, it was an individual wearing the uniform of the Afghan National Army.
Meanwhile, an Afghan civilian has been shot and killed by U.S. forces in Afghanistan's northern province of Balkh. The incident happened when U.S. forces opened fire on civilians, killing a man and injuring several others. This is not the first time that U.S. forces have turned their guns on innocent civilians in the war-torn country. Civilian casualties have long been a source of friction between the Afghan government and U.S.-led foreign forces and have dramatically increased anti-U.S. sentiments in Afghanistan. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of RINN English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.